Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
The language was spicy. The ramifications are near infinite. Just what did the latest landmark case out of the Supreme Court do for American jurisprudence and the Trump administration? Find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Each community on earth, if you take that away and try to distill us just down to white folks, we'll be like Europe, an aging, slowly dying former empire. The Roman Empire didn't survive because it didn't have enough strength in its diversity. It suppressed its diversity and it died. If the U.S. wants to be the Roman Empire, keep voting the way you're voting, y'all.
That's one of the most, not only is she a racist, but she is an absolute bimbo too. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. It's completely historically illiterate. And it's embarrassing that she felt that that was a okay thing to say. And then put it out online, ignoring the racial part of it. I think I'm more offended by the stupidity of what she just said than I am the racism that is within it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That's Joy Reid, who clearly Harvard is meaningless. That's the kind of brain, the brain trust that Harvard produces. You have her and then you have that pig kid, David Hogg. Those two are products of Harvard. Some of the dumbest people I've ever seen. So first, welcome back. If you're joining us by listening terrestrially or if you're watching the stream, Channel 347 DirecTV, the chat's at Rumble. You can also find us at X and Facebook. So I love history. I am a major history buff. And one of my favorite things is reading about ancient empires and love reading about ancient Rome. And I watched, yes, I did watch the Hillsdale thing, The Rise and Fall of Rome. I've also been watching, I actually watched a thing last night that was about the construction of Roman roads and how all roads literally did lead to Rome. But more so to her point, she's saying that the U.S. isn't diverse enough and that's what is, and that a lack of diversity is what killed Rome. That is a historical nonsense. And here's why. In fact, it was too, you can now listen to me. It was too much. I don't mean that in the racial sense because it comes down with having a shared identity. This is one of the ways that America learned from Rome's mistake and our founders learned from Rome's mistake because at some point there was admittance of, I mean, everybody got Roman citizenship. Everybody had Roman citizenship. And I don't know if people realize that the Roman emperor at the time, Caracalla, was the one who he, you know, that's the sacking happened on his watch. But every free person in the empire got citizenship. And previous emperors also did that. And at first it was looked at like it was Rome's strength because they would conquer and then incorporate. And that was really different in those times. They didn't just leave something conquered and they didn't force them to adopt every single thing that they did within Rome, but they did incorporate it. They incorporated it namely so that they could say, okay, you're a conquered. You have to now give us X amount of foot soldiers. It's one of the reasons why they had the biggest armies is because that was part of that incorporation. But there was never any diligence in creating that singular identity. Everyone talks about a Roman identity, but when we look in history, it was kind of all over the place. I mean, people wanted to consider themselves Roman, but there has to be a shared loyalty, a shared identity. And that was just one of the things. And that's like one part of it that went into it, is that, you know, there was citizenship given to every single person. The overspending was crazy. The amount of spending was just, even on Caesar's time and before, was entirely irresponsible. And then you had a lot of instability because there was a lot of corruption. There was a lot of intrigue. And the other thing, too, was you were losing a lot of traditional values. And, you know, the Eastern Empire was already starting its rise. And then you had the barbarians and you had the Goths and you had, no, not like the Cure Goths, but like, you know, the Visigoths. You had the Goths and then you had the Huns that were all coming in. So there were a lot of things that factored into it, but I think one of the biggest was this strain on, or an absence, a strain caused by the absence of a shared identity is one of the things that played into it. And the idea of being a Roman and what that meant and being a member of that empire was diluted as a result of that. In the United States, it's one of the things that our founders did differently. They didn't make a shared identity on a race or a religion or anything else, but it was about that animating spirit of liberty. So they, if you want to be free, then we are kinsmen. And that's how the founders set this up. And in the Roman Empire, they didn't even do that. They're just like, okay, you're here, you get a Roman citizenship, you get a Roman citizenship. And the absence of those shared value led to an absence of cohesion. It led to instability. It led to a complete dearth of cultural values, the whole nine yards. And there was so much internal fighting as a result of that. Rome, by the time the Goths came in and sacked it, Rome had already sacked itself. That was just the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back. So what everything that she's saying, it's literally actually the opposite of that, that created that the fall of Rome. Now, in the United States, this is where this communist, cultural warfare comes in. You know, the critical race theory. Everybody says DEI. DEI is an offshoot of critical race theory, CRT, which is the Frankfurt School of Marxism, right? It is an absolute Marxist theory. And I wrote about this 15 years ago when Andrew Breitbart was still alive and I was working with Andrew Breitbart. Derek Bell, who was a prominent academic, and he was at Harvard. He was kind of a mentor to Barack Obama. And I remember at the time we had this video of Barack Obama hugging Derek Bell. And I thought it was pretty significant. The media tried to, you know, bury it and act like it wasn't a significant thing. But we're like, there's an introduction of a new tactic here. It's critical race theory. It's been exploding on college campuses since the 60s. And here's how it's affecting you now. All of this stuff that you see now with DEI and wokery all came from that. Every bit of it. It all came from CRT. And it started on American college campuses in the 60s. Derek Bell was a huge proponent of it. And that gets into that. That was a tactic to identify, isolate, and destroy those shared cultural values by turning everyone against each other based on intersectionality. So that's where all that comes in. Oh, if you have two women, if one woman's a black woman and a white woman, well, she has one more intersectional box to check than the white woman. So now she has more power. Ah, but if this chick is gay, then they may equal out then. But if one of them's trans, then you see what I mean? It's like a constant one-uppance. So instead of focusing on shared cultural values and that shared identity that's based on liberty, you're now weaponizing all of these other variables to destroy that. It's an ingenious way to go after the thing that really did separate us from the Roman Empire, was that singular shared identity. We had something around which we could rally and be loyal. And that was, we are free to be free. And this is where you come to do it at. That's why you can be from anywhere and you can be a kinsman in freedom. And so that's why what Joy Reid just said there is so incredibly embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for her. Can you imagine making a video and showing your ass like that? With how stupid you are. I mean, there's no excuse. She's like a 50-something-year-old woman. There's no excuse for you to have the money that you have, be on television and have the internet, and then not understand the basic concepts of history like this. I mean, that's truly something. But that's the thing. And you know what? When you are removing the recognition of that shared cultural value that is your identity, because when you think about, well, what does it mean to be an American? At its most just distilled core, what does it mean to be an American? Free. Freedom. I think that's what ultimately everyone would come down to, yeah? Freedom. So that is the American identity. Well, when you start weaponizing all of these other things around it and attacking it, destroying it, doing this, reinventing the Mao cultural revolution with going after and attacking our history like they did with our founders. Oh, our founders were imperfect. Thus, everything that they have done is imperfect. Well, that's illogical on its face because all you got to do is read the Bible. I mean, David was imperfect. He came from one of the most imperfect lines in all of mandom. I mean, David, who sent Uriah to be killed so he could get Uriah's wife. David. And from him came the Messiah. So that completely blunts that argument. But they don't care. They want you to be separated from God so you don't understand that. And they also want you to turn on your fellow man and ignore that animating spirit of liberty so that we can destroy the social cohesion and obscure the identity of what it means to be American. Now, Rome did that to itself because they were allowing every Tom, Dick, and Harry and giving everybody citizenship with just completely unfettered immigration. Not even just immigration. It wasn't people even coming to Rome. Rome would go elsewhere and they would conquer a land. Oh, you're Romans now. Here's your citizenship. You're incorporated. The incorporation was smart, but everything that happened afterwards was not. So there's the, she doesn't even understand. She doesn't even understand the warning cry of the fall of the Roman Empire and what that means or what it looks like in current times because she's just focused on the racial aspect of it. Immigration is a variable, and racists like her don't understand that. And I'll say it again, immigration is a variable because the identity, once again, is about being free. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your religion is. Do you want to be free? And we are founded on Christian values, but we're singular in that we do not demand that you worship as we worship or do what we do in order to accept the perks of freedom, for the lack of a better way to put it. I mean, it's just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I'm like, golly, has she ever read a book? I don't know. But it's just truly stunning to me. But I had to talk about that. I had to talk about that. And the other part, too, is, you know, they were bringing in all of these, the Goths and all of the, it sounds funny to say it now because I immediately think of, you know, like a Hot Topic. So actually, it's emo. I immediately think of like The Cure or something. But the way that they ended up managing it in the twilight of their empire just hastened that the conditions that created the fall. They'd already sacked themselves. So it's just a dumb, completely dumb thing from her. Now, a couple of things that I want to make sure we're touching on. So we had the White House Correspondents' Dinner. We didn't go. Did you go? Or did you watch? I didn't watch it. I felt like we used to watch it before. Or like we would pay attention, but apparently it was nobody watched it. Nobody cared because POTUS wasn't there and nobody from the administration attended. They had a club that launched that night. It's a members only club that's in Georgetown and you can pay a fee and you can hobnob with the administration. I don't know how I feel about that, but that launched the same night as the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I know the press secretary was there and there were other people that were there, but they didn't. I mean, did they even have a comedian host it? I don't even think they did. So what was the point of it? Summer is all about making great memories. Backyard barbecues, road trips, lake days, even just relaxing in a hammock with a good book. Spending time with friends and family, catching sunset views. But if you're living with pain, those future memories can be stolen from you. It's kind of hard to enjoy the simple moments when you're in pain. So here's a thought. Try Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement designed to help your body fight pain. It's a doctor-developed formula made with natural ingredients. And unlike pain meds that just mask it, Relief Factor works to reduce, even eliminate your pain for good. So whether you're spending time at the lake or chasing your kids or grandkids or just enjoying a summer stroll, Relief Factor can help you feel better, move better, and do more of what you love. Reclaim your summer. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF to get the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Why has the housing market absolutely tanked? When is the right time to buy a house? Market uncertainty is everywhere, including AI, tariffs. Is the Fed lowering interest rates? Don't expect the housing market to recover anytime soon.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Time is the one thing you can't get back, so spend it wisely by investing in your goals and future. Every moment at Miller-Mott College gets you closer to a career that makes you proud. Visit us online at miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I didn't even know this could happen. California's running out of license plate numbers. The license plate sequence that starts next year is kicking off. It's going, the one that began in 1980, it began with one AAA000. And now, I'm not even reading all this. It's 9UB, I'm not good. No, not even. Anyway, I didn't even know you could run out of.
That's what happens when you give illegals a bunch of license plates.
Well, dang, look at you. Hollywood film and television productions. Everyone's saying it feels empty. Is it in a death spiral? Aw, filming in Los Angeles is at a historic low. Remember how they were talking about implementing more tax credits and they never did it and people were mad? Yeah, so it's, they said that even in the back lots, there's nobody there. Nobody even around some of the bigger ones. Hollywood is facing intense competition for production in Atlanta, New York. Places that do tax credits elsewhere. A lot of people have been coming to Texas. It actually creates money. But man, these policies are not good for business. They said shoot days declined over 22%. That's wild. Also, aren't things being made differently? Yeah. Things are being shot different. Production's different now. It's very different. Virginia Guffrey, one of Epstein's most prominent abuse survivors, apparently dies by suicide. Now, there were a lot of questions surrounding this. Because she had said at one point, I'm never going to commit suicide, etc. But Lorraine noted over the weekend that she and her husband apparently split. He took the kids. And so she was like already going through it. And that might kind of, that's sad. It's very sad. Southwest Airlines. Oh my gosh. Why? What would you do if you were on this flight? A Southwest Airlines passenger stripped naked, defecated on the seat as the plane landed. It was a flight to Chicago. It was a female passenger. They had to call the cops to Midway because this lady was going crazy.
You better remove that seat.
Yeah, you better burn the plane because it's just no good at that point. They had to take it out of service for cleaning. Hopefully with flames.
Yeah.
That's nasty. They said that, and then the last month they almost hit a taxiing jet to sun glare, apparently. But they handled it. Can you imagine being on that plane, though? I don't know. I keep seeing these videos of people who are told to get off the plane because they're being disruptive, and then they fight and threaten to, you know, delay the whole plane. I'm surprised that passengers don't intervene as much as at all. I'm actually kind of surprised over all of that. I'm always going to carry. I will always tell people to carry. I have no problem using lethal force at all whatsoever. But I also realize, too, you know, it's good to have diversification with any kind of defensive implements. Especially when, you know, you have gun-free zones, and we would all like to not have to deal with those. But, you know, unfortunately, in the real world, we do. Or if you're a college student and you're living on your own, going to school, but you're not old enough to carry a pistol yet, this is where that kind of diversification comes into play. Because burn a gun doesn't require background checks. It can be shipped right to your door. It's legal in all 50 states. No waiting period. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. And you have two different versions specifically for self-defense. They have rifles as well, but this, I think, you know, for this purpose, the Byrna SD or the Byrna CL, the CL stands for compact launcher. It's the CL is also smaller, 38% smaller than the SD, but there's no recoil. There's no time off for, you know, taking for target acquisition, and it's an effective deterrent. And it also gives you some form of defense when you are disarmed by, you know, restrictions or regulations, what have you. Visit Byrna.com/Dana and check out the new Byrna CL, BYRNA.com/Dana. Byrna, ready when you are. Again.
How much time are you willing to spend on dead-end gigs? 3 months? 3 years? 3 decades? Time is the one thing you can't get back. So spend it wisely by investing in your goals and future. With career-focused programs and continued support, every moment at Miller-Mott College gets you closer to a career that makes you proud. Isn't it time you invest in yourself? Visit us online at miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu. Feel like your life's too busy to go back to school? With Miller-Mott College's online programs, you decide when and where you learn. Gain invaluable insight from industry-experienced instructors, all while building connections with peers who share your drive for success. Our team is only a call or email away to give you the academic and career support you deserve at every step. Have time for what matters while still reaching your goals. Visit miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
Of course we should be talking about how, if Speaker Johnson got his way, it wouldn't be possible, not just for gay people to get married, but for straight people to get divorced, let alone like birth control or
what?
How he would want to regulate porn or whatever people, most people would have a problem with. But
What the hell is he talking about? I mean, if Speaker Johnson got his way, all the gay people would be just illegaled. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, guys. That's former mayor, secretary, new mom, vice admiral of the canoe fleet over at Camp Wimpy Tonka, Poot Booty Juice. Don't criticize how I say his name, because our former illustrious president, who had all of his brain cells, all of them, that's how he said his name. And that's the gold standard by which I operate, ladies and gentlemen. Dana Lash with you. Welcome back. We're at the bottom of this first hour. He says that Johnson was going to make it to where gay people couldn't do anything and straight people couldn't get divorced. And yeah, I don't know what he's basing that off of. Imagine, like, you just do a live stream and say whatever the hell you... Can you imagine if I actually took to air not knowing anything about which I was discussing and just rambled and just incoherently pulled stuff out of the ether just to suit whatever, you know? Yeah, I would be held... I mean, they go with me all the time. I've been on air for 3 hours every day for years. I have a beat reporter assigned to me at Media Matters. Yes, they would find out something if I said anything incorrect. If they don't even like it, they go after me. I mean, to hell with it being incorrect. But if you're a Democrat, you can just, Mike Johnson's going to make all the, he's going to illegal all the gays and that. And the straight people, they can't get divorced or have white claws. It's going to be so bad. Can you imagine having a 4th of July with no white claws? So bad. But that's what it's like listening to him. Every time he opens his mouth to give it perspective, it's like drunk without the alcohol. It's what you feel like. So if you've never had a drop, it feels like that. You're listening and you're like, am I sober? Is this supposed to make sense? I don't know. That's what it feels like. But you know, he's trying to get, he's working hard on behalf of the Dems, because guys, they're going to have to try to talk to dudes. You know, the party that was like toxic masculinity is now going, wait, we messed up. Oops. That's where they're at right now. So they said that they're spending $20 million trying to connect with dudes by studying their syntax. S-Y-N-T-X. Yeah, whatever that means. That's what they want to do. Audio soundbite 9. Listen to this. This is one strategist literally saying exactly this.
Yeah, good questions. One, let me save the folks from the Times and all the other great print outlets some time. If you dig in on what Democrats are researching right now, you're going to find a lot of silly stuff. You're going to find people asking a lot of questions, people asking about syntax and do I drop the G from this word and this and that. And it's going to be a lot of that. So let me just warn everybody, that process is going to be very obnoxious for this 40-something. I would also say we're really talking about young men, right? Young men who Democrats have not figured out a consistent pitch for how to get
them. They're toxic. And then women can be men. I mean, you know, you guys have kicked them around for the better part of 40 years. Whether it was the Title IX stuff, whether it was promoting women over men in the name of false equality, whatever it was, you guys have attacked dudes for endlessly, for forever. Toxic masculinity. Dudes that are young Gen Z are terrified to even date chicks because of everything that the left has done. So yeah, $20 million they think is gonna help band-aid that error. So after they're impugning their characters, again, for the better part of 40 years, now Democrats are going, wait, we messed up, hold up. Here's an excerpt. For now, Democratic donors and strategists have been gathering at luxury hotels to discuss how to win back working-class voters, commissioning new projects that read like anthropological studies of people from faraway places. The prospectus for one new $20 million effort obtained by the Times aims to reverse the erosion of Democratic support amongst young men, especially online. It's codenamed SAM, short for Speaking with American Men, a strategic plan, and promises investment to, quote, study the syntax, language, and content that gains attention and virality in these spaces, and it recommends buying advertisements in video games, amongst other things. All they know is that younger dudes play games, and they're like, something, something games. You can't just buy an ad. You know why the Democrats have not been successful in that in gaming? Because they don't play them. And Republicans haven't been successful because they're a bunch of damn cowardly Tipper Gores who want to put explicit lyrics on everything. These people that attack video games, oh my gosh, it's like I'm watching Tipper Gore 2.0. For the love. No, that you can't fake it. You cannot fake it. That's you're either in that community or you're not. That's not one, that is not a community that you can fake it with. But what is this to study the syntax? What does that mean, Kane? What the hell does that mean? What does it even mean?
It's their, that's the language. They want to hijack it. They want to understand it so they can get
in there. They're acting like they're foreign, like species.
Right.
Like we have to talk like these aliens.
How you do, fellow kids?
Why, hello, fellow male. They tried that once with that ad. Remember that ad where they all look like rapists? They all look like soft rapists. That Democrat ad that they were... Whoa, oh, man, hang on.
Their version of masculine.
Yeah, I'm a masculine man or something like that. What? Oh, da-da-da-da-da-da. Is this it? Oh, I got to find it. No, there's one where it's the voting one. They came out with one ad where it was like men that were bullying their women into voting. And then there was the one where you had this one guy who... he looked like a bottom and he was sitting on a truck going, I'm a manly man. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not. The only person who probably buys more lube than you is Diddy. No, you're not. You know what ad I'm talking about though? I'm sorry. I can't, it just now, and every single dude in that ad, they were all terrifying. Yes. That was the attempt that they had, I guess, at trying to talk to dudes, and it horrified dudes. Yes, that ad that Steve just put on there. Yes, that is it. That is the ad. That is literally it. And I mean, again, it's also the party that had David Hogg as their vice chair. Yeah, they had those weird ad like, I like steak. I'm a man. Men like bourbon. Therefore, I like bourbon. So you're going to think I'm a man. Like, you guys, Juan's putting it up for you. My favorite was the guy who was sitting like a pageant queen on the back of a truck. Yeah, and then you have the one guy. I can't believe that they got these lines out without laughing to death.
I think he actually said, I eat trannies for breakfast. If you remember that line, he said, I eat trannies.
Yeah, it was the guy in the cowboy hat. I eat trannies for breakfast.
Rare. Man enough to deadlift 500,
shut up.
Braid the out of my daughter's hair. Okay.
You think I'm afraid to rebuild a carburetor? I eat carburetors for breakfast.
Oh, you eat carburetors for breakfast.
That's what bear hugs are for.
Like the one guy in the orange shirt, he's sitting like a pageant queen. That guy looks like he beats his wife. That guy looks like that guy right there. Yeah. And then who's the prospector? Where the hell does this guy come from? They just got me out of the valley. I was prospecting for gold. But this is what I mean. And look, he ripped his sleeves off. You know, he went to like Urban Outfitters and got that shirt. That guy, his arms went. But this guy right here, who can I just say, what man sits like this? I mean, it's rhetorical, but none of them do. Look at him. He's like tweaking. This guy.
I sit like that when I...
He's in an orange polo, and he's sitting on the back of a truck, and he's turned, and he's got his hands on his leg like he's a pageant queen. And he's like, oh, you better believe I'm a man or I'm going to beat you. That's his whole aura.
I'm going to beat you vibes from that?
Well, yeah. Like,
I don't know.
Silence of the Lambs. It puts the lotion in the basket. He's totally giving me those vibes.
I sit a little like that.
And then you got like the DMX wannabe who's sitting there like, I'll braid the whatever out of my daughter's hair. And I'm just like, shut up. What is the matter with you? No dudes talk like this. They just do it. Right? I mean, if you have to sit here and tell people that you're a manly dude, men know this. Men know immediately that you're not. And Democrats are like, the prospector kills me every time I see him because the shirt is just over the top. God love him. But I'm just trying to understand why Democrats think that they have to spend $20 million because I'm pretty sure this ad was several million dollars. How much do you think that ad was to make, Kane? Those are all actors.
From a production standpoint, it looks about, what, 8,000 won? Probably get that done with about 8,000, because there's no names in it, so you're not paying them much at all. So maybe 15,000
tops.
Totally
looks like California that they were in.
But they probably spent $1 million on this. It's like $15,000 production.
They had it well in that ripped off shirt for the prospector. They had to go, you know, they had to go probably get him that shirt at Urban Outfitters. I'm just saying.
They gave him nuggets, gold nuggets.
He got so mad his sleeves just poof, came right off. They shot out the side like projectiles. And that guy was the meanest one of them all. But this is what Dems, my point is that Dems did this ad. This guy right here, look at his sleeves. I'm sorry, that's fake. Why do you cut yourself? Why do you just like put a wife beater on, man?
They paid him in mining equipment.
I bet he hates himself now. You know that. And the way that he moved, that dude's an actor. And I'm all for it. But if you're going to wear a shirt like that, I feel like, you know, after we lost Joan Rivers, I feel like I need to rise to that occasion and fill that need from time to time the best way that I can, knowing that I'm nowhere near close to her brilliance. But someone's got to step in and talk about this. Like, the hell, I see that and I'm like, what happened to your sleeves? Did your muscles get so mad they blew them off? Like, what happened? I don't get it. Stop. That guy's an actor. They're all actors. Like, there was an article that talked about how they were all hired from an agency. None of these people are real. This guy probably never rode a damn bike in his life. And he's like, I'm working on my bike. And he's got his, you know, he probably don't even know what his tools are. The whole point is that Democrats tried this before. They spent, they did this ad. They did like 3 ads last cycle. And how did they show men? The first one was they did an ad where they were trying to show conservative men, Republican men, like they were going to beat their wives if they didn't vote for Trump, right? For the love. And then they're like, well, I guess we better walk it back. We need to appeal to men instead of, I guess, making them look like they're horrible people. And so they did this ad that made them look like they're horrible people. The most unlikable actors. It's like they went to the agency. Yes, give me the most unlikable actors you have. I want women to flinch when they see them on the screen. That's what I want. That's what we're going for. Yes, Kane?
I think they literally thought, let's get a cross-section of what we think MAGA looks like, and we're going to message that way. Like, we're going to message as though we're reaching out to the MAGA crowd.
I mean, it's just so shallow. Yes, I can deadlift this, and then I can braid my daughter's hair. Like, one excludes the other. I don't think you quite understand the concept of chivalry. Oh my gosh. I can't stand this. So they're spending $20 million donor dollars. Let me clarify that. So Democrats get donations. So the people who've been donating to the Democrat Party, whatever brain trust brought you those ads, those are the people that are going to be trying to refine their messaging to dudes. Oh, this is, I want them to, no, you want them to do this. We want them to do this. I'm just, picture it. Content gold. Oh my gosh, we're gonna make so much fun of this. It's gonna be insane. And if they have Secretary Newmom, Vice Admiral of the Canoe Fleet, Rear Vice Admiral of Canoe Fleet, Camp Wimpy-Tonka. Yeah, Booty Juice. If they have him spearheading this, oh please, for the love of all things holy, let this happen. I don't ask for a lot. No, hold up. I asked for a Datsun for my birthday and I didn't get one. So at least give me the, and I asked it for Wick, my rescue dog. I was like, he needs a dog. It makes so much sense, because he does, Wink. He does. I didn't get that. So can I have this? Can I have this? Mother's Day was last month, like earlier this month. It's not over yet. I can still get like a belated Mother's Day. So this could happen, and we could have Poop Booty Juice leading this, and the messaging would be endless. Oh my gosh, guys. Like, I am here for the summer of cis. Think about the last movie that you saw that inspired you and kept you thinking long after the credits rolled. Movies have the power to change individuals, communities, and culture. And that's why I'm telling you about Angel Studios. This is the studio that had the courage to bring the world the sound of freedom. So how can you be part of it? Well, you can join the Angel Guild. King of Kings, an animated story about the life of Jesus, is now streaming on the Angel app. And when you watch King of Kings, it's going to move you. It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it's unlike anything else that's out there. It opened first on April 11th and broke records and earned an A+ cinema score. So as a premium guild member, you can watch King of Kings and access fan-curated films and receive 2 free tickets to every theatrical release. And the best part is that you are part of deciding what stories get told next. Experience the power of King of Kings, a film that's moving hearts and inspiring faith. Visit angel.com/Dana to watch now and be part of this life-changing movement by becoming a guild member. That's angel.com/Dana.
Feel like your life's too busy to go back to school? With Miller Mott College's online programs, you decide when and where you learn. Have time for what matters while still reaching your goals. Visit miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu. Feel like your life's too busy to go back to school? With Miller Mott College's online programs, you decide when and where you learn. Gain invaluable insight from industry-experienced instructors, all while building connections with peers who share your drive for success. Our team is only a call or email away to give you the academic and career support you deserve at every step. Have time for what matters while still reaching your goals. Visit miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
How you doing? I felt like it was important to get on the blower and talk a little bit about how I'm feeling and wondering how you're feeling about the state of our union. I'm finding myself pretty scared about a lot of things, scared about losing my rights as a woman, scared about losing my right to vote as a woman, scared about losing autonomy over my body as a woman, scared of my parents' social security checks, scared of food banks running out of food and not being able to replenish because they're no longer getting federal funding.
I love the tragedy theater that these people on the left, that they engage in. I mean, she's saying all of this stuff, like losing my right to vote as a woman. What does that even mean? Like, how is your right to vote under threat? It's just rhetorical. It's stupid. Stop fear-mongering people. I mean, that's a big B move. Stop fear-mongering people. I'm like worried I'm going to lose my bodily autonomy. Oh, like when with COVID, when you made your stupid little videos and you're out dancing in your yard telling everyone to get injections like that, you know, where you were going along with your party's ideology of no bodily autonomy and you were demanding under threat of penalty that everybody get injected with some experimental weird juice. That, I mean, you know, like pick your flavor. Like, what are you going to be for today? You're for bodily autonomy now, but you weren't under COVID. How cute that that changes because your principles are in sand. How so nice that is. I mean, that's Kevin Bacon's wife. Yeah. And it makes me question Bacon. Yeah. Kevin Bacon, you know, because like he was the one, everybody played 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, where you were at least everybody was no more than 6 people away from Kevin Bacon, right? Now I'm like, do we want to be any closer? Because, like, is he like her? But she did this. She did all these social media videos during all lockdown, like telling everybody, you're going to get your shot, wear a mask. Did all those videos and lectured people and supported the mandatory moves of government against individuals as it pertained to masking and school and, you know, opening businesses and distancing and all that stupid stuff. But this idea that I've been hearing this forever, you're going to lose your right to vote. But you do lose it with actual Democrats. That's for damn sure. And you can lose your life too because of their policies. We're going to talk about an 18-year-old who was killed by an illegal immigrant down the road from me just this weekend. Stick with us. People like Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there that's in existence, and they want to save you money. Yes, they have great service. Yes, you can work with a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. And you can also get a free month of service using promo code Dana. It's time to make the switch. You can defend freedom with every call and text that you make. It's so easy to do. This is a carrier that fights for your values. This is a carrier that also has plans for every single budget type. It doesn't matter. Families of all sizes, businesses, singles, whatever it is, they have something for you. And they also, again, don't spend your money against you at the ballot box. Super easy to switch. If my mother can do it, it takes minutes to do it. You can as well. You just simply visit patriotmobile.com/Dana, or you can call 972-PATRIOT and get a whole free month of service using promo code Dana. Super easy to switch. Defend freedom with every call and text that you make. Very easy. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT, promo code Dana for that free month of service.
Good afternoon. Time is the one thing you can't get back, so spend it wisely by investing in your goals and future. Every moment at Miller Mott College gets you closer to a career that makes you proud. Visit us online at miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu. Feel like your life's too busy to go back to school? With Miller Mott College's online programs, you decide when and where you learn. Have time for what matters while still reaching your goals. Visit miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
Good afternoon. I am Corporal Carly McCann, Provincial Public Information Officer for the Nova Scotia RCMP. Thank you all for being here today. Bonjour, je suis la Caporale Carly McCann, agent d'information publique pour la GRC en Nouvelle-Écosse. Merci de votre présence aujourd'hui. First, I acknowledge that we are in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional and unceded ancestral territory of the Mi'kmaq people. I also recognize that African Nova Scotians are a distinct people whose histories, legacies, and contributions have enriched that part of Mi'kma'ki known as Nova Scotia for over 400 years.
This is the equivalent of throwing the Virgin in the volcano to appease the fire gods. That's exactly what that is. So that's the police. They were holding a press conference on missing kids.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, they were holding a press conference on two missing kids, and they started off with a land acknowledgement. Shut up. I don't care what stupid land you're on. That's so dumb. You're talking about missing kids. First, we can't get started until we acknowledge that we're on the missing lands of the Lilliputian people. And we have to thank the Lilliputians for allowing us to have this press conference here before we start talking about the missing kids, which are actually not as important as acknowledging the Lilliputians. That's how dumb this sounds. You're talking about missing kids, like little kids, a six-year-old and a four-year-old. They've been missing in rural Canada for 4 days. And they had rescuers combing the woods looking for them. And it is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. That's the RCMP that she mentioned. And they had helicopters, everything. But they could not start until they did a land acknowledgement. These are not serious people. I have literally never heard that since. It's performative theater. It is performative theater. Time is critical. Two kids are missing. Families have their hearts broken. And this stooge, broad, gets up there. Oh, we're going to do a lot. What? What, this doesn't even make any sense. Is it like, she sounds like a hostage video. I'm just shocked. I don't know, man. Can you imagine if you're the family and you've got, you know, your kids are missing and you have the police lady get up there and go, oh, well, we recognize that we are on the land of the Lilliputians and, you know, that's what. That's crazy. They didn't start off talking about the kids. They started talking about that. It's performative as all get out. It's so incredibly performative. I don't know. I don't know how long that lady's been on the force or not, but good heavens. It just shocked me. It shocked me. I don't understand the land acknowledgments. Nobody cares about land acknowledgement. Everybody stole land from everybody, and you didn't steal it. It was conquered. You went in, and you either moved and acclimated, or you got conquered. People have been conquered all throughout history. Whenever anybody talks about Mount Rushmore, well, guess what? The Lakota took it from someone. Who did you steal it from? Lakota stole it. Who did they steal? They took it from Chippewa. Where did they take it before that? I mean, it's so stupid. Just quit. What does any of that have to do with missing kids? Sorry, we have to pay the indulgence of mentioning these people before we can start talking about the bigger story of literal missing children. And you wonder why Canada is circling the crapper. That's why. Good heavens. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. You can listen terrestrially across the country, Channel 347, DirecTV, the chats at Rumble. The Maryland man, I like saying it because Kane rolls his eyes. That innocent Maryland father. You know the van that he was driving those people in when we played that video? I think it was like earlier this week, right? The video footage of him in the vehicle. And he had eight people in the car. And it was registered to a known human trafficker. Yeah, so the guy who owns the vehicle told the DOJ that he actually paid Kilmar Brigo Garcia to transport illegal aliens from Texas all across the country. So he was a human trafficker. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's probably a criminal illegal alien who's an MS-13 gang member. Yep. Gang banging duck. Just saying. So yeah, of course he was. We all knew that. We didn't need an official word from the DOJ. Hey, this guy who's here in the country illegally is driving a vehicle owned by a human trafficker. Wow, gee, I wonder what he's doing. And he's got eight people in the car and they don't have any luggage. Wow. I wonder what's up with that. He's just driving them to Whataburger. Man, they're just going to go to Whataburger. That's all. Juan Shoney. So this footage, the car that this dude's in, that's Abrego Garcia at the wheel. The car that he is in is literally owned by a known, well-known human trafficker. And the well-known human trafficker verbatim told the Department of Justice, and this was released by Pam Bondi, that he paid Kilmar Abrego Garcia to transport illegal aliens all around the country. This is what Democrats, this is the guy that Democrats fell all over themselves on to go and have margaritas with. And this is the same guy who beat his wife like millions of times, had protective orders. Tennessee Star broke the story. There's more. The DOJ, they're investigating Abrego Garcia, obviously. They offered limited immunity to the guy who owns the vehicle. So he'd tattle on him. The guy, his name is Jose Ramon Hernandez Reyes. And DHS confirmed that he is the owner of that 2001 Chevy Silverado that Abrego Garcia was driving in the video that you see. It's 2022. And he was offered limited immunity. Hernandez Reyes was previously arrested in 2019. He was already convicted of human trafficking a couple of times. He was sentenced to 18 months behind bars, deported, told not to come back for 3 years. Hernandez Reyes came back anyway, illegally reentered, got this vehicle, and has been helping to traffic humans all across the United States, obviously violated the terms of his sentence, and that in Abrego Garcia, he hired him and paid him to help him traffic people around the country. And the El Salvadoran Abrego Garcia. Boy, Maryland dad, right? All of this stuff just keeps dripping out. Drip, drip, drip. Keeps dripping out. And if you remember, so he was stopped by Tennessee Highway Patrol in 2022. That's that video. He didn't have a driver's license. Eight people, himself included. Or nine, himself included. And this was the Biden-era FBI. They were told, the agency, they had to release him. But the FBI told DHS that they had to release him. And there were troopers, as you heard in the video, we've played it before, that knew that he was trafficking. They're like, this guy's a trafficker. That's what's happening here. You know, this is what's happening. He's a trafficker. And he had cash on him, almost $2,000 in cash. And Hernandez Reyes has been convicted, like I said, for trafficking before, from Texas to all over the United States, various parts of the country. This is the Maryland ad that they want to protect. I just absolutely no shame. And I keep seeing the due process. It's due process, due process, due process. He had his due process. It's time for us to have ours. Just wild. Now, a couple of other things. Can we get some of this Biden audio? Biden was on The View today. Where's his mush mouth? Which one? Because I've got two cuts here. Which is the mushiest? Let's do audio soundbite 27. Listen to this. He's talking about why Harris lost.
Why do you think the vice president lost? And were you surprised?
Oh. I wasn't surprised, not because I didn't think the vice president was the most qualified person to be president. She is. She's mm-hmm. qualified to be president of the United States of America. Right. But I was surprised. I wasn't surprised because they went the route of the sexist route, the whole route. I mean, this is a woman. She's this. She's that. I've never seen quite as successful and a consistent campaign undercutting the notion that a woman couldn't lead the country and a woman of mixed race.
Yeah. What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing.
That is some of the stupidest stuff I've ever heard. It had nothing to do with that. It was her qualification. I mean, I'm not going to relitigate it. I would literally rather beat my head against a rock on a riverbank repeatedly until it's nothing but mash before I have to talk about Kamala Harris again. She's just horrible. Qualifications, it's not there. It's an embarrassment. Stop trying to make her a thing. This guy can barely talk. You have to listen close to even hear what he says. Audio somebody 26. He says he could have beaten Trump again. No, he couldn't have. No, he couldn't have. Listen to this.
Knowing what you know now, do you think you would have beat him?
Yeah, he's still got 7 million fewer votes.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of people didn't show up. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, they're very close in those toss-up states.
They're not that, actually. I mean, you lost the blue wall. You lost Michigan.
They lost all of them.
Yeah, they lost every bit of the blue wall. And Michigan was a huge loss for them. These people, like, what in the world? There's just doesn't make any sense. But I don't know. I don't understand the appeal of having him on The View. Does that bring eyeballs? Are people seriously interested? Really? Seems kind of lame. We also, hang on, I want to get more of this because we've had breaking news all throughout the beginning of this show. This, you guys want to hear Marjorie Taylor Greene versus Jasmine Crockett? I do. Audio somebody 15. Fight, fight, fight.
Point of order. Out of curiosity, is the chairwoman allowed to editorialize before every speaker on the Democratic side speaks, or is that part of her time, which we know that she went over?
It's not a point of order. You're taking Ms. Stansberry's time. I know you're trying to be chair of oversight, but Ms. Stansberry is the ranking member.
Chair would be better on this side. I do agree with that.
It's Ms. Stansberry's time.
Let's let him fight it out and see who wins. But it is true. She was trying to talk over and hog the clock, which you can't do. That's why they have that mediation like that. The folks who help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Super Beats, the Super Barine product. And Super Barine is about healthy metabolism and supporting healthy blood sugar levels. And the Super Beats, as you know, is all about heart health. It's about heart health, blood pressure support, all of that. And so Super Barine, from the same people who make Super Beats, it's doctor-formulated, plant-based, has a unique form of berberine and Italian olive fruit extract, so you get additional antioxidant and cardiovascular support. And the berberine is unique. It's been clinically studied to deliver 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. Fewer pills to swallow, so you're getting higher absorption. That means fewer pills, one highly concentrated, easy-to-swallow capsule daily. No GI distress because Super Barine includes grapeseed extract for greater tolerability. You can find both the Super Barine and Super Beats Heart Chews at Sam's Club. Restock your heart health support with Super Beats Heart Chews and expand your routine with Super Barine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support. Start today. Get on the road to better cardiovascular health support.
Feel like your life's too busy to go back to school? With Miller Mott College's online programs, you decide when and where you learn. Have time for what matters while still reaching your goals. Visit miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu. Time is the one thing you can't get back, so spend it wisely by investing in your goals and future. Every moment at Miller Mott College gets you closer to a career that makes you proud. Visit us online at miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A St. Louis man was arrested after sitting naked in the St. Louis Terminal Airport. Did they ever remove the plywood from the windows from that tornado some years ago? I asked them that 3 years after the tornado hit, and Lambert, the official X account, went at me. They hire the best. The St. Louis County Circuit Judge signed an arrest warrant for a guy who sat naked inside of the airport terminal. Probable cause statement. It happened April 25th, Terminal 1. The guy's named Darius Walker. He attempted to cover himself when somebody approached. He was sitting in the terminal chair, belt unbuckled. So it sounds like he had clothes. If his belt was unbuckled, maybe the people at Fox 2 now, maybe they could write a decent story that clarifies this before they finalize a headline. That would be super helpful for people trying to share the news. Meanwhile, let's see if the New York Post did one better. A 7-year-old boy drove his little sister 9 miles in his mom's SUV to get a McDonald's Happy Meal. That's a good big brother. Wait, no, it's not. Stop. You're 7 years old. You can't be driving a car. He drove his sister 9 miles, his little baby sister. And the mom was shocked. She goes, he's probably grounded for the rest of his life. They were in Utah. And it was 8 a.m. and police were called. They were alerted to a reckless driver. And the SUV did not come to a stop until they hit a parking strip. And they found a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old inside unscathed. And they made it 9 miles from their home, cash in hand, to buy Happy Meals. That's going to be a story they're going to tell for the rest of their lives. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. But can I just ask, how in the hell you, mom, did not know that your kids had taken the car and driven 9 miles away when they're 7 and 5 years old? Oh, I can't be judgmental. Yes, because I've had two kids, but like that separated, that age distance. I think I would know if my kids took my car and drove to McDonald's. So I don't know, like what was happening in that house? I mean, watch your kids. Let's see. This AI of dead Arizona road rage victim addresses killer in court. They use this in court? A clip of a guy who was killed in 2021 said, I believe in forgiveness, after his sister fed an AI model videos of him. And they used it in court. I don't like that at all. And that should not, I don't think that should be allowed. That is creepy. And that is really creepy. I know. And how? No. I don't know. We got a couple headlines in here repeatedly. Let's see. Going back up. A tourist was bitten by a crocodile while taking a selfie at a zoo because he thought the animal was fake. Well, in his defense, they do say very still. They do. He was 29 years old, but his problem was that he literally climbed into the enclosure and he was promptly bitten by a female crocodile. He thought it was fake, and so he climbed into the enclosure to get a photo with it. But again, it was fake. The zookeeper had to go in and hit the crocodile on the head to get her to open her mouth, and he got more than 50 stitches for his injuries. And I hope that they billed him for any injuries to the crocodile since he climbed into the enclosure. Goodness. So let's be real. Medical freedom isn't just a catchphrase. It's your right. Your health decisions belong to you and not the government, not Big Pharma, and definitely not some unelected bureaucrat. So that's why I'm all in on what All Family Pharmacy is doing. They're putting medical power back where it belongs, and that's in the hands of you, Americans. Through the end of June, they're making it even easier to take back control, because when you control your health, you protect your family, your future, and your freedom. Get 20% off site-wide. No insurance, no problem. No insurance needed. And licensed doctors in all 50 states. You'll also receive fast shipping straight to your doorstep. This isn't just about convenience. It's also about freedom. You can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. You can get methylene blue, emergency kits, antibiotics, whatever you need to be prepared, proactive, and protected. So visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use promo code Dana20 to get 20% off your order. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, code Dana20. Don't wait for permission. Own your health and take your freedom seriously.
Time is the one thing you can't get back, so spend it wisely by investing in your goals and future. Every moment at Miller-Mott College gets you closer to a career that makes you proud. Visit us online at miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu. How much time are you willing to spend on dead-end gigs? 3 months? 3 years? 3 decades? Time is the one thing you can't get back, so spend it wisely by investing in your goals and future. With career-focused programs and continued support, every moment at Miller-Mott College gets you closer to a career that makes you proud. Isn't it time you invest in yourself? Visit us online at miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
And discrimination against black people. We are in a moment of anti-blackness on steroids, and we refuse to be silent. We will not back down in our pursuit of racial justice. The antidote to anti-blackness is to be pro-black, and we will do it unapologetically. The United States government owes us a debt, and we need reparations.
Now!
I didn't know it was a call and answer session. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this third hour. That is Ayanna Pressley, who's talking about reparations. Man, Democrats are just, they just keep putting out bangers, right? They just keep putting out bangers. I'm all for them doing this. Do it. Try it. FAFO. I'm all about it. Democrats introduced a federal resolution once again for reparations. I've got a lot of questions about this. So Summer Lee out of Pennsylvania led it. It was first introduced back in 23 by Cori Bush. Now, don't you criticize that woman, because she's got a man who says he's a wizard, right? It was her bodyguard,
yeah,
who says he's a wizard and he can literally bring a plague upon you. I don't know. That's like, that came out. She was paying him campaign money. I don't know. Anyway, they said that in this press conference, they want, Presley says she wants restitution and justice and reparations. And I don't even know what that exactly means. I'm so tired of hearing off of the stolen labor, stolen land, et cetera, et cetera. Can I just note that every nation on earth, without exception, has engaged in the practice of slavery, and it wasn't just black citizens that were enslaved either. I mean, by and large, it's a horrible thing. It goes without saying. But it wasn't reserved also for just one group of people or another. So my question is, how does this work? So people who were never slaves want money from people who never owned them. Okay. That still doesn't make any sense to me. And so, like, Kane, I'm going to use Kane as an example. Sorry, Kane. I just want to use you as an example. All right. So you're, and we'll just put it bluntly. So Kane is half Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
So your family wasn't even here. Half of you, they weren't even here when all that happened. So do you only pay 50% reparations? Like, how does that work?
That's a great question.
Juan's family's from Puerto Rico. How does that work?
Is there no, like,
Juan's
system?
Juan wasn't even here. Yeah. He's got to pay reparations.
So we got to consider that. Plus, is there a system considering your family's history? Like, what?
Yeah, so my family predominantly are Irish, which explains so much, and American Indian. So when we look back through our family records, we were on the Dawes roll. So my ancestors were forcibly removed on the trail of genocide by Democrats to go to Oklahoma and elsewhere. Excuse me. So how does that work? So when my other ancestors, when they came over a way long time ago, I mean, the Irish were enslaved and they were treated horrifically. So how does that work? Is there like a grading scale? I think when you're also demanding that you and only you deserve recognition for past offenses, you're also diminishing and attempting to disqualify everything else that everybody else is. It's the human story. The human story is, you know, because humans have the free will to choose evil and good. And part of the human story is, you know, immoral activities such as this. Part of the human story is entire tribes in Africa that would conquer other tribes and they would literally sell them into slavery. I don't know where people thought that, you know, they were going when they were over there in the Ivory Coast and they were putting, you know, sending people through that famous doorway and trekking across the Atlantic to the New World and selling people to plantations. But I mean, it wasn't just a bunch of Englishmen over there that were selling people and they were working. In fact, what was it? What was the one movie that was made and it was on Netflix and it got a lot of pushback even from black historians because they were glamorizing one of the biggest tribes in Africa that was prolific in the slave trade. They made a lot of cash trading other enemy tribes. They would war and they would capture and they would sell. So what, I mean, so if you descended from that tribe, and are you then partly responsible for reparations, for paying reparations too? Like, how does that work? That's how stupid this is.
Let's remember where the word slave came from. It didn't come from some African descent. It came from the Slavic countries. And they were actually white people who were slaves first, which is why the word slave was even what it is.
Well, what it says too is that, oh, it's okay in every instance but this. I don't think it's okay in any instance. But this is, you know, the history that we have. I mean, one of the things with history is we look back at what, you know, the people who came before us did. And if we don't like what they did, we say we're not going to repeat that. That's the unfortunate aspect of it. But to demand that someone who wasn't involved be responsible for paying you is a lazy way to redistribute wealth. And the sad thing is you're diminishing actual immoral activity by using it as a veneer for greed. And that's the truth of it. If like Arianna Pressley and others calling for reparations want to get really mad, be pissed off at Democrats. that perpetuated this. It was Democrats who did the Trail of Genocide, and it was Democrats who fought to keep people enslaved. That is the truth of the matter. They fought for this, and their policies after continued to fight for it. The destruction of the Black community through urban planning, the likes of which happened under FDR and others. I mean, go back and look what happened, like when they were building roads and highways. This was Democrat central planning. There's entire books on this. I have two in my library. That was Democrat central planning, and it was designed to divide and control. I've never understood how people can support the party that historically fought to diminish them at every turn. The abolitionists were Republicans. The people who wanted women to be able to not have to go to the poorhouse when their husbands passed away, to be able to inherit the farms that they worked on alongside of their husbands and families, those were Republicans that fought for women to be able to do that. It was Republicans that fought for women to be able to cast a vote as an equal citizen of this nation. And it was Democrats that opposed it at every step, that ideology. I hate breaking everything down to just Republican or Democrat, but it is that ideology that is still so pervasive today. I mean, think about the policies. And it's even creeping over in conservative spheres. This is one of the reasons I get enraged when I hear about people trying to expand welfare programs like paying women to have babies. They are a continuation of the same policy that chipped away at the nuclear family unit over the past several generations. And they're trying to doll it up as a conservative proposal. It's asinine. Who is the party of higher taxation that makes it to where a family has to send both parents out of the home to work? Exactly. This is my point. I mean, if Democrats want reparations, maybe they should ask themselves to pay themselves then for diminishing and dehumanizing themselves. And furthermore, I want my reparations. Yep. My ancestors were forcibly removed, apparently by Elizabeth Warren's ancestors back in the day. So what do I get out of that? I would like to know. My family was dirt poor. And my family came from a tribe that actually was pretty independently wealthy in Georgia back in the day. And they had everything confiscated and seized from them, and they were sent on the trail of genocide. We're on the roll books. We're listed. My ancestors are listed on the trail, and they got their numbers. So I'm just curious. What do my ancestors get from that? Like, where does that come? What about the tribes that were relocated through that trail of genocide? They can't even own their own land on Indian reservations. Do you know that? Democrats have fought against that forever. If you're on a res, you can't even own your own land. The government owns it. It's actually not, when I think about it, it's actually not that much different from property taxes. You never really own your own land, but you really can't even have it in your name on a res. So that's, you know, why? Why did they do that? Why did the government do that and disallow them to own property? Big question. So if they're going to talk about reparations, they need to take it to their party and say, you owe us this because this is what you fomented throughout history. It is evil to demand that someone else carry the penalty for another person's sin. God doesn't even do that. God doesn't pass on original sin. It's a myth that he does, and it's scripturally incorrect to assert otherwise. He doesn't do that. You're not responsible for the sins of your father. And again, if people want to argue that you are, explain to me Jesus's lineage again. It's divisive and it's hateful and it's racist. They're just racist is all it is. Lorraine notes that the Irish quarter and her German half of her family didn't get here until after it was over and they were dirt poor. So what about those? And what about black slave owners? There were some Native American Indian slave owners. What about them? Here's the other thing. What about people like my husband's family who came over here in the 1800s from Germany? And there was a book written about his grandfather, Gustavus Lash. He was taken as a prisoner of war, and he was in Andersonville, the worst POW camp in the country. And I can't remember how many of them walked out. They had a ton of them in there. And to feed them, they would drive a live ox into the yard. And the prisoners would have to tear at it with their bare hands and teeth if they wanted to eat. Most of them died. And my husband's grandfather was one of the very few that walked out alive, totally emaciated, looking like a concentration camp survivor, but walked out alive. There's newspaper articles written about him and all kinds of stuff. He fought for the Union. He gave his health. He offered up his life. So are you telling me that somebody, his descendants, have to pay for something they didn't do? What about the people who lost their lives fighting to free people? Are you telling me that by way of their skin color, that they are just required to pay? It's racist. Aryna Pressley is a racist, and these other people are as well. And they use their skin color as a gimmick. And it's sickening, and it's divisive, and it's evil. It is a moral failing on their part to demand reparations. You know, there are people that have suffered. I have a whole chapter about this in my book, Grace Canceled, because I write about all of this. Human history is entirely imperfect and filled with error because humans are entirely imperfect and error prone. You're continuing this pattern by demanding something from people who are not responsible to pay you for something you never endured. And when I look at the backgrounds of some of these lawmakers, you know, like people like Jasmine Crockett and others, and they never experienced the poverty that I grew up with, ever. When I look at Ayanna Pressley's background, I mean, she had a lot of stuff handed to her. She grew up in Chicago. She did Planned Parenthood advertisements. You know, she was able to, you know, build herself. And then she kind of like discounts that and acts like, you know, none of this was available to her. She wouldn't be where she was if these opportunities had not been available. Opportunities that she argues don't exist. It doesn't make any sense. It's evil, and it's a perpetuation of the sin that they accuse others of.
Ben Carson joins Pastor Alan Jackson on Culture and Christianity, Protecting Faith and Family.
There were some failures in our culture, from expressions of racism, I mean, those widely documented. But there's abundant evidence that as glaring as some of those weaknesses were, they didn't prevent opportunities. I'm concerned for the younger people today. I think they face challenges that could be even more debilitating.
Hear the full story on Culture and Christianity with Pastor Alan Jackson. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Some of these headlines I got today. All right, so first up, I'm telling you what, this is scary. If I lived in Florida, and I love you, Florida, I love vacationing in you. I love your food. I love going down there 30A. I like going, I mean, the whole, every part of it, no matter what part of it is, all beautiful. Your all's water is, I mean, it's terrifying because of the stuff that's in it. In your sewers, municipal employees were doing a routine inspection. Routine inspection. Oh, we got to go look at this pipe. It's underneath this Florida road. Let's send a little camera down there just to see. Oh my gosh, there's a gator sitting in the pipe like a people. He's sitting there like a people. Look at him. Juan's got it. They were looking, it's this concrete pipe, and they were looking to see like what, you know, the structure, et cetera, et cetera. You know, as skilled workers would do. And they lowered this camera down there and they saw a gator. It legit looks like he's sitting up. It does. I can't even say the city's name, but they posted a photo to Facebook showing the image of the gator. And they used this remote controlled camera to check the pipe. You know, they were looking for cracks and leaks and things like that. Oh, but then there's more. They also had video of him. later, walking around. The pipes were fine, but he's just walking around. See, he's why you look at him with these, just sitting like a people. Just sitting there chilling in the pipe. Can you imagine? Now, that's a sewage pipe. I don't know. Like, is he going to come up in somebody's toilet? I don't know. I'm just saying. They also kind of want to chill with you at your house, too. Not this particular gator, but one of his friends. An alligator, another alligator, not the one that we had last week that knocked on someone's door. This is a new gator knocking on someone's door. Come and knock on my door. He got stuck in a folding chair. He needed some helps. Lee County Sheriff's Office posted a video to social media. A gator was visiting front porches in Tortuga, and their deputies had to come because he got his head stuck in a folding chair. And as he approached the front door, he had the chair on his head, and it was hitting the door. It was almost like he was signaling for help. So clearly the homeowner did not try to do it themselves. They called the professionals to come and help. My gosh, we got a lot more on the way. Third hour next. Stick with us.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast. We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope. Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real. Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
Alcatraz, can you walk us through that decision?
Did I say what?
To reopen Alcatraz, how will you use it? How did you come up with the idea?
Well, I guess I was supposed to be a movie maker. We started with the movie making and we'll end. I mean, it represents something very strong, very powerful in terms of law and order. Our country needs law and order. Alcatraz is, I would say, the ultimate, right? Alcatraz, Sing Sing, and Alcatraz, the movies. But it's right now a museum, believe it or not. A lot of people go there. It housed the most violent criminals in the world, and nobody ever escaped. One person almost got there, but they, as you know the story, they found his clothing rather badly ripped up. And it was a lot of shark bites, a lot of problems. Nobody's ever escaped from Alcatraz, and just represented something strong having to do with law and order. We need law and order in this country. And so we're going to look at it. Some of the people up here are going to be working very hard on that. And we had a little conversation. I think it's going to be
the shark bites. A lot of shark. Well, it is shark infested water right there. I mean, I'm just saying it is, isn't it, Kane? I mean, you know, the sharks are hungry right there. That's all they got are needles and feces on the.
That's where they're looking to get their bites in.
You got to get your bites in. And then their little watch goes off and says, you did it. I don't know what's happening. So, oh, my gosh. Welcome back to the program. We're at the top of this third hour. It's the weather. It's welcome back. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the third hour. Greetings and salutations. Little quick sidebar. So, you know, our studio, we have Wick here, a rescue pup. And this dog is, we've had to teach him how to be a dog in a way, because we got him from a shelter and he never like went outside without a person before. So the first time I let him go outside, you know, like go out, it's your backyard, you know, and you can go use the restroom. He looked at me like I was crazy. Like, get here, woman. Like, you got to walk out with me. I can't do this by myself. And he is petrified of storms. He just shakes. He just tucks his tail and just shakes whenever there's like thunder, whenever it's storming. And then, you know, if whatever was going on, we got to stop it and make sure he's chill. And he doesn't like being in his kennel except to go to bed at night. That's the only time. And most dogs want a safe space. Wick does not want to be in his kennel. So I've made a pillow fort for him. Like a whole pillow fort that he can get in and hide. So I'll let you know how that works out. I'm like, well, he doesn't want to be in his kennel. So the next best thing is a pillow fort.
Wait, how many pillows have you used in this pillow fort?
A lot. And there's like a blanket, and I am an expert pillow fort builder. I don't know if anybody knows this. It's a particular skill set that I have. You know, I've made many, many pillow forts, not just as a child, but also as a boy mom. I have made some pillow forts in my time. And so it's a really, Kane, it's a spectacular pillow fort.
Yeah.
In which Wick can find security from the storm, since he doesn't.
Does he calm down in the pillow fort?
Well, I don't know. We're trying it for the first time. So we're going to see. That's what I did on break. I'm like, I went and cobbled together, if I do say so myself, a pretty spectacular pillow for it. And we're going to see if that maybe, because he wants to be under stuff. And if he sits by you when it's storming, you have to basically hug him. You have to put your arm around him and hug him. Or he'll try to melt into your head. It's just like he tries to get right there by you.
That poor guy.
And someone was telling me a thunder shirt. People who have never dressed toddlers are like, get a thunder shirt for your dog. Dressing a dog is as bad, if not worse sometimes, I think, than dressing a toddler. Well, unless it was my youngest. And I just don't know if that's going to work out. So I don't even know what it's a shirt that hugs you tight.
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to be like those compression blankets that make you feel like you're being hugged.
I feel like that's not going to work for him. He's a very smart dog. He is super smart. He learned how to open gates and all kinds of stuff. He's incredibly smart. So he's just, except he doesn't recognize just a basic storm. He's smart, but, you know. So we'll see how that goes.
He's no meteorologist. Give him a break.
Well, I mean, it is kind of out of nowhere. It was, you know, sunny this morning, and then all of a sudden a storm comes rolling through again, and the thunder is so loud that sometimes it carries over air. It's crazy. So anyway, that's my life right now. I'm just making sure my dog doesn't have an existential breakdown when I'm on air because of the thunder. So if one day you guys happen to tune in and you hear like some whining in the background of the mic, if you're not watching, or if you just see a giant yellow dog here in the seat with me, it's because the pillow fort didn't work. It didn't work. And so he's got to be, and he just sits there. It's the funniest thing. He doesn't move. It's like he thinks if he's still, the storm won't see him. Like the big roll of thunder. He acts like if he's just super still, the storm won't see him. And he sits as still as a cigar store Indian. He just sits there and will not move. So he'll probably look like a fake dog. So it may happen now. It may happen here in the next few. So bear with us. It's our high maintenance show dog. Oh my gosh. Now, Lorraine says for her dog, it's the electricity in the air more so than the thunder. I didn't even think about that. Really? The electricity in the air? I just think it's muggy. Ooh. Anyway, so. All right. So POTUS having a little press avail right there, and he's discussing Alcatraz. I just, again, I don't think you need to make it all up, right? Just make sure you got the electric fences work, and I think you're good, right? Don't you think so? And the locks work?
Yeah.
I think that'll. I don't even know how much that would. Are we running out of prison space?
I don't know.
I mean, we've been letting prisoners out for all kinds of different reasons,
right?
And overpopulation's been one of those reasons.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe it, you know, maybe we do, but I'm not against it. I'm not against it. POTUS sat down with Kristen Welker and was grilling him about a number of different issues. Can we have audio soundbite 6? Because I need to hear what he says about Jasmine Crockett. Go ahead and play this one.
I can't name one Democrat. I mean, I look at the Democrats, they're in total disarray. They have a new person named Crockett. I watched her speak the other day. She's definitely a low IQ person. And they said she's the future of the party.
She's dumb. How is that possible? That's what he just said. Now, speaking of Crockett, was this at her audio soundbite? I think this, 17. So she was speaking at a commencement ceremony, you know. Just, this sounds like a particular, just like, a, I guess, what a regular commencement material. Listen to this.
There are going to be people that tell you that you don't belong. And I am here to tell you over and over and over that you absolutely belong. There are people that are going to tell you that there is not a table in which there is a seat for you. But I am here to remind you of Montgomery and those folding chairs. Let me tell you that we know how to use a chair, whether we pulling it up or we doing something else with it.
Okay, so what? I guess she thinks that. So this was her graduation, her commencement speech Sunday. She was in Mississippi, 20-minute speech. And she's like unnecessarily wordy. Like instead of, you know, at a table in which there is a chair, you could just say a seat at the table, you know. At a table and using a bunch of words strung together poorly does not make you sound smarter. It makes you sound dumb. Just say a seat at the table. That's it. But she's talking about this, the fight that, when she's talking about chairs, she's, do you remember this 2023 fight that was in Montgomery, Alabama? And it was boaters that fought with, I guess, like a dock worker and a couple of other people. Remember this? It was a bunch of drunk people that fought, and then there were chairs involved. I don't even know. And it had to do with a parking spot at the dock. Like, somebody was trying to dock their boat, and somebody else, there was like a large river boat, and then there was a smaller private boat. And everybody got into a fight, and everybody made it a racial thing. And because they said, well, the city has a history of racial violence. I don't know if it was a race thing more as much as it was a drunk people entitled thing. I don't know. But I mean, I guess, you know, she needed it to be that. She referenced that. That's what she was talking about with the folding chair. Like, that doesn't even make sense. You're talking about a drunk fight over over dock space and a what? But why is that the message? First off, who's telling people that there isn't a seat for them at the table? Oh, sorry. A table at which there's a seat, also known as a chair, that you could have the seat at. I don't get it, Kane. Like, what? Why is that who's telling anybody this? The only people that are saying this are people like her. The only people that are going, oh, there's no room at the table. It's just, it's her. She's the one who's telling them this. But that.
She did respond to him on X.
I
put that in Slack.
She did respond to him on X.
Yeah.
Her remarks were stupid when she's talking about the chair. But she said, she tweeted, as Kane noted, she tweeted, quote, oh gosh, for you to be in charge of the whole country, you sure do have my name in your mouth a lot. Okay, first off, let's stop with the first sentence. He doesn't even know your name. He just knew your last name. And he only mentioned you one time. So get over yourself. And can we stop saying name in your mouth? Like, that's so stupid. Just shut up. I'm so tired of people trying to sound hard ass and like, I'm going to say something that I think other hard ass people say. And if I say it, then I'm going to borrow the hard assedness. Just stop. And then she goes, every time you say my name, you're reminding the world that you're terrified of smart, bold black women telling the truth and holding you accountable. Like, what? Like, he mentioned you one time. He mentioned her one time. Like, he wig snatched you. And why are you still talking? Like, stop. He didn't even mention your whole name. So she snatched her own wig at her speech. Like, I've never seen anybody wigs like do a self wig snatch, an SWS, harder than this woman does. Like, it just does not. Keep my name out of your mouth. Okay, that's not even how that works, but okay. Just, I feel like I'm watching like Schitt's Creek, the show. Right. Fold in the cheese, David. Well, what does it even mean? I just fold it in. Keep my name out of your mouth. What does that even mean?
The funny thing is that every time she talks about it, it's proving his point.
Well, yeah. I mean, she talks about him all the time. He just referenced her one time. One time. He just mentioned her one time. And she loses it on X. Loses it. She was so excited that he even mentioned her last name. Nobody remembers her first name. And the only reason that they remember her last name is because it's Davy Crockett's name first. And it's a little bit jarring to realize that somebody with the last name Crockett is such an idiot and so entitled. I mean, she's literally like a trust fund socialist. I told you she grew up in the ritziest area in St. Louis. And she went to the most expensive and exclusive private school ever. I mean, MICDS that's where all the politicians' kids went, all the CEOs' kids went, all the debutantes, all the billionaires and the millionaires' kids, all the ballplayers' kids were at MICDS. Like, everybody was at, if you had money and you had, your parents were famous, you were at MICDS. That was like the school. And it's super expensive. It's like more expensive than a 4-year university. It is insanely expensive to go there. Beautiful campus, but I had to do a profile. One of my first jobs after college was writing a celebrity profile on a performing artist, and they went to MICDS. And when I walked into that school, I was blown away because it was like a world away from how I grew up. I think she tries to cosplay like she's Hood. Well, she does. She tries to cosplay Hood, and she's not. Like, AOC tries to cosplay like she's tough. It's like, stop. It just looks so bad. It's so bad. So the that was her commencement address. I just can't believe that you would reference drunk people fighting with folding chairs over dock space at a commencement address and then act like that's somehow representative of racial struggle. I mean, if you're, it doesn't even make any sense. And she was in Mississippi, right? And she's referencing something that was in Montgomery, Alabama. I don't understand. That doesn't, none of that makes sense to me. Of course, you know, not the brightest bulb in the box. Not really. Audio summit 18. Oh, she kept going. Listen, this is nuts. It's easy to play because she says stuff that's so crazy. Oh, wait, we got to move, don't we? Oh, hold that thought. Sorry, yeah, Steve is dying. Steve, you got to yell at me. We got to move because Steve will have a stroke and we won't have any quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So NIH closes experimentation labs that are accused of brutally killing thousands of beagles for over 40 years. It's so horrible. It was announced that they closed their last in-house beagle lab on the NIH campus. This comes after days after DOJ said that they're investigating these experiments in the White Coast Waste Project. So that's great news. Let's see. Also, solar panels to be fitted on all new homes in England by 2027. That's mandatory. You will be forced to comply. Welcome back. Dana Lash here. We're at the bottom of this third hour. We made it to Friday. Yeah. Yay! It's good to be with you. Coast to coast, you can listen terrestrially. One of our hundreds of markets. You can also watch the stream. Channel 347 DirecTV. Find us on X. Rumble's where the chat is. YouTube, all that good stuff. So I feel like we're always so critical of culture here in this space. And for good reason, because it sucks. So much of it is just heinous. Like, so much art and so much music and everything. I feel like I sound like a boomer almost because we are just so hypercritical of it. But it is trash. And one of my biggest criticisms of the right is that they don't encourage actual good stuff that's not, like, politically driven. The stuff that I see promoted is politics first and then artistic consideration second. And I always have a huge issue with that because it should be about, you know, the expression first and making something that's really cool and is, you know, pretty or whatever. And then if you want to, you know, if it has a political point, then fine. But don't make that be, you know, the vehicle for the art. It's backwards. One of my friends who is a great illustrator, I think that's the preferred term, has been doing all kinds of, you know, comics, and he has a podcast, and I've known him for a really long time. In fact, our first meeting was hysterical. But you can find him on X at Salty Draws. He is a writer, creator. His pronouns are Lord and King, and he has a comic book series. It's actually really cool. It's about the teenage Ben Franklin, who is caught in this virtual world that is regulated by AI. Which is weird because when he started this, I kind of wonder if he knew we were going to be here all these years later. I mean, we're almost there. Sean Salter now joins us. You can find him at Salty Draws on X. Good to see you, my friend. Okay, so every time you join me, your office gets, like, your studio gets bougier and bougier in the background. Yeah. I gotta point that out.
Well, because I'm just going along with my pronouns, King and Lord.
That's
so,
right.
You know,
that's right.
Respect them.
I have the comic here, by the way, and you've got this nice shiny foil on the top. This thing is thick as all get out, too. And this is, like, beautifully illustrated. It's Silence Duguid, Ben Franklin, time travel agent. I want to get into all of this, but because you were in Hollywood for a really long time. I want to give people a background on you. You were in Hollywood for a long time. You worked for big studios. You worked on all kinds of very commercial things that people have seen on television and theaters. And you got red-pilled. Although I think you always were kind of...
Born and raised.
Yeah, red-pilled. But you weren't public about it because you couldn't be.
No.
What would have happened if you would have been vocal about it then?
Well, what would have happened is what happened to us right before I ended up leaving Hollywood, which was we had sold, me and my writing partner had sold a show to a major Hollywood studio, and we were developing that in Hollywood. It was an animated series. You're familiar with that one, but we can't talk about NDAs. And when they found out we were conservative Christian, straight white males, well, they knew we were straight white males, but, you know, when they found out the conservative Christian part, it was phone call. We're not going to do this show.
Just like
so,
that. As easy as that.
Just like that.
That's
and when you're
crazy.
Nobody, you don't have an established name, it's really easy to do to you. And so it was time at that time, at that moment, I knew it was time to leave.
Yeah. And then you went to beautiful Tennessee. I can say that. Well, you talk about
yes.
it. I mean, it's I'm not going to say where you are, but it's like you live out in nature. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I live in the forest. And so it's hard to get to where we're at. And if you're here, it's not a good idea.
Right. That's right. And it's so much better now. Do you feel like you're able to be... I mean, is it? In some respects, I would imagine it's harder because it's an important point that I think you made. If you don't have that name recognition, I think even if you do have the name recognition,
yeah.
I don't even think that you can be exactly free with your ideological beliefs. That they, if they fall out of line with what you know, the upper echelon in Hollywood dictates.
Well, look what happened to Gina Carano, and then that happens to so many people. They just what happens is the phone stops ringing. The call you stop getting the jobs, you stop getting any interest around you, and it has to. They'll say things like, "Oh, you're with," or you know, up because they don't want to be seen as bitter. But really, at the end of the day, it's just because they're fascists.
Yeah, I mean that's everything that they've come out with has been garbage. I rarely go see movies anymore.
Yeah, we don't go at all.
The last time
Wolverine was funny.
Oh yeah. I didn't even see that in the theater. I was trying to think the last thing I saw in the theater and I can't remember. The first time I went back to the theater after a really long time was Top Gun, the sequel. I did see John Wick. I did see the latest John Wick. I had to go see that. But
yeah, that was a good one.
I really haven't gone because there's not a lot. It's all like repurposed, rehashed, reimagined. It's the same story that they make duller and duller with every iteration. Yeah. And there's not a lot of originality out there.
There's not a lot of originality. I think they do the reboots because the stuff that is original is so just twisted and just full of their nonsense that does not relate to the regular American. Mm. That they're like, well, what about this? And then they shove their stuff in it still. And it's just like, you made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah. So this, I'm going to get into the comics because you do. This is a great series that you've been working on for a long time. But... have you been, because you were born really conservative, like, how would you say, like a Reagan conservative? Like, how did you, what was your belief set? Like, how would you describe it if you had to package it?
When I was younger, I was Alex P. Keaton. I mean, I would debate my father over Richard Nixon being a great president. As I got older, I became a little bit more, you know, into my 20s, I became libertarian. And then when I got older and wiser, I realized... I don't like anyone, and you've all gotten it wrong. The founders had it right. Let's go back to that. So,
exactly.
Constitutional conservative?
Yeah, I think that's right. I like that. Like constitutionalist. Yeah. I think there's something as you get older, you realize I just want to be left alone more and more.
Yeah.
I'm tired of everybody's garbage.
I'm done with the Democrats. Always never voted for a Democrat in my life, but the Republicans get on my last nerve. I just happen to, you know, it's like the party of stupid or the party of evil. And it's like, I'll go with the stupid.
Well,
they're
not
again.
Conservative enough. They're I'll go with the dumb people, I guess. But they're not. They're not. I mean, we tend to vote for them as a strategy to kind of get closer to what we want, but they're not constitutionalists.
Yeah. Have to, because I mean, what's the alternative? A dystopian future where, you know, it's not even communism, it's neo-feudalism.
Yeah.
You have no rights and you're a serf. I mean, let's be honest, income tax is slavery. We need to get rid of that. We're serfs, we're slaves, and we need liberty. What this book is about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you made an important point too about, because we kind of agree on this, although I think people don't understand the nuance about voting. Because, like, just to throw this out there, this is, I think, you throw this out there, you immediately see the difference between who is a constitutionalist and who isn't, because it's not a right. Voting isn't a right. It's relegated to the states to administer. So it's something that it's a privilege that the states administer, but it's not a right. And people freak out when you say this.
Yeah. Well, I say it's an earned responsibility. It's not even a you have to earn that. And that's what the states used to determine who was responsible enough to have a say over how society governs itself. You cannot let people that are on the take, that are on the dole, that are essentially parasites. And I lump politicians in with that. You can't let them have a say. You know, those that are actually putting in the blood, the sweat and the tears, those that have skin in the game, they have the privilege or the responsibility to govern the rest of us. We were founded as a republic, and we need to get back to that, because the longer we stay a democracy, the more our rights are in jeopardy by the mob.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I like this series too, because you explore, how do I put it? You explore these ideals without it being overbearingly political, if that makes sense. Like, I don't feel like I'm reading a political missive that is politics first. And then, like, you know, the really cool artwork and coloring and the panels and the characters, that's like a second consideration. Is that, and I feel like a lot of people on the right struggle with that. I mean, clearly you don't, because you get the concept of it. But talk a little bit about that, because this is what, so for the people who don't know, Ben Franklin is Silence Do Good. This is his series, and this is the latest. I mean, it's like really pretty. I mean, it's a great read. And if you like comics, I like manga and I watch anime and all that stuff. And I love this series, but it's, I love the way that you approach it. And tell me a little bit about it, because I think this is something that, you know, people obviously should check out, but I like that it's just originality forward, for the lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah. Well, the idea really started as just me thinking, like, what would our founding fathers think of if they saw the America we've built? And it kind of, you know, snowballed from there. I love time travel. Big fan of Doctor Who. You know, I loved.
I could not see tell.
Them in the back, right there. So obviously time travel was how I wanted to do it. I wanted to treat American history as kind of a backdrop. I didn't want to change history. I wanted to keep it like, oh, this is what happened.
Right.
How are we going to do that? And so it just problem after problem, and you just solve the problems. And one of the ways we solved it was, what if we had Ben Franklin, who was a scientist, an inventor, he was like the Renaissance man of the age. He seemed like the perfect person for this. And he's my favorite founding father. Just one of the most interesting guys ever.
He was very interesting.
What if he's a teenager?
His air baths. That was my favorite story about him.
Yeah, one of his inventions was just sitting around in the nude, air bath. But yeah, so it was like, take a teenage Ben Franklin. So it's more of a coming of age. So he has the principles of the Enlightenment era, but he's also going to be maybe more wrestling and questioning and doubting, but also rebellious, a little bit more rebellious than he would be as an adult. And what would that be like? Because Ben Franklin was also a loyalist. So how does that? So it creates all kinds of complexities where we get to then have a fun time exploring the ideals of liberty and free will and what that would look like in a future where the algorithms dictate every move humanity takes.
And we're there right now. I mean, because you start, how long ago did you first start this series? Because we've talked about it before. I mean, it's continued and it's grown, but I feel like it was very prescient, because now here we are where AI is really, I mean, it's going to dominate everything. I mean, it's going to dominate warfare. Yep. It's going to dominate every aspect of American life. We're right there by singularity. And so this was very, I mean, this was very thoughtful in anticipating that.
Yeah, I started it a decade ago, actually, and it's evolved. So we added in AI probably about 8 years ago, because AI was starting to be murmured, and we were, you know, you have AI in video games. Yeah. And so it's just kind of like thinking of like a virtual world. And I remember a lot of my friends, and me included, would get super addicted to video games, and you'd be like, oh, I could just call out sick because I'm gonna play video games all day long. And it was like, what would it be like if we just all lived in a video? Oh my gosh, that would be scary. So for me, it was just like trying to create the scariest world possible, but that's so candy coated that it would be very sweet to the world. And so that's what I think that this dystopian future would be like. And that's the world we're creating. And that Ben Franklin is like, nope, we got to stop it. And with lasers and robots.
Yeah. I think you were pitch perfect on that, because out of all the founders, he's the one, he was very forward. He's like, I would say maybe the most classically Tocqueville liberal of all of them. I mean, he was a very, very forward thinking. He was really the only one, like, you could send him to France and he can go over there and, you know, wine and dine with Louis and all of the nobles and get money to help fund our, you know, War of Independence. Not everybody had the patience to do it. Other people tried and they struggled, like John Adams really struggled to deal with them. But Ben Franklin was like, no, 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 you got to finesse it. You got to handle it a certain way. He was he really understood the times then and the times that were coming. So he's like the perfect character through which to explore all of this. Are you going to do others? Are you going to branch off and like maybe explore with other founders?
Yeah, we're going to explore with other just Americans in general. I don't want to say exactly who, but it's going, it'll be a little bit, you know, it'll be fun. We're going to have fun with it. Definitely. I think that Silence Do Good will be a moniker that, gets applied to other people as Ben Franklin will kind of age out. Cause you know, eventually he's got to go back. Cause what we're doing is he's 18 at this time and he's supposed to be in England procuring a printer. And American history doesn't really know what he was doing there other than getting odd jobs trying to get back for about 3 years. So when he comes back to America, you know, we might have to change the story a bit and get a new hero in there. But for right now, we got about 3 years with Ben Franklin. And that's a lot of that can happen while you're time traveling.
Exactly. A lot that can happen. The series is Ben Franklin is Silence Do Good, time travel agent. It is great. You can find it at his website as well. And they also have he's promoting the comic book pre-order campaign on Indiegogo. And you can see that the website, turkeyrobot.com. And you can check out his show, Salty and Savage, on YouTube. My good friend, always so good to have you. Would love to have you back. The next time you're all in Dallas, you need to holler. The next time we're in your neck of the remote woods, we're going to holler. We'll holler at you. But it's so good to
come out here.
Congrats on all your success. Here's the latest. Nice, pretty foil. Look at that. This is gorgeous. You do such great work. And I appreciate that you're still an artist and you don't, it's artistic forward, preaching second. So the politics are, it goes along naturally with it and it makes it so much more engaging. You're a really good storyteller. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Success.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Always. I'm like, I got this. I'm like, oh, we got to have Sean on to talk about this because it's really great. And I actually, since COVID, I got really into manga and anime and I actually started getting into your stuff more because of it. So that's like the silver lining of all of it. So it's so good to have you. Sean Salter. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll have you back.
Thank you.
Take care. Good to see you.
Bye.
The Supreme Court sides with parents and common sense about whether they can protect their kids from indoctrination at school. A House Democrat wants to radically overhaul Congress and the courts, quite a temper tantrum for losing last year. And the numbers don't lie about how much better Florida is than New York over the past 25 years. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm back. Dana Lash with you. It's a very stormy day in Texas. Ken, I think it's been thundering and rumbling the entire time we've been on air, like loudly. Like Steve can hear it through the microphone all the way in D.C. from where we are. That's how loud the thunder and all of that is. Like the heavens have opened up. No tornadoes, though. All right. I don't want to rob you today in stupidity because I did it like twice this week. All right. Kane, go.
It's Hillary Clinton. Get sometimes tongue-tied. I apologize for that. This is cut 11. This is what she says the Democrats need, and this is what she says the Republicans should heed. Listen to this.
We will defeat these people by winning elections. I mean, even if we win every court case, we still have to figure out how to get that enforced.
I said elections.
Even if the press does lots of exposés, you're dealing with an administration that has no shame. They don't care that they are, you know, being seen as corrupt or
being seen
cruel
as,
or
because
whatever.
Because, of course, it's all about smearing your political opponent.
She literally,
opponent.
Like, took classified emails and then, like, tried to delete the evidence.
She's
you
the
tried
worst.
To nation build in Libya and literally usurped the authority there.
And no matter what context we're talking about, she's the worst.
Yeah, she's absolute worst. She's never going to go away, is she? That does it for us this week, folks. I hope you have a wonderful, dry, safe weekend. I'll be back behind the mic with you on Monday. In the meantime, find us YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe, Substack, the newsletter, chapter and verse. Have a great night. Have a great weekend.